Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And tonight our topic is don't make a parody out of your relationship. But before we begin, we're going to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity once again, Father God, to be used in your service, Father God. We just yield right now to your spirit, Father God. We ask to be used by you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And again, our topic is don't make a parody out of your relationship. We will be discussing how important it is to be real at all times in relationships. When we go into relations with each other pretending or faking who we are, then we end up hurting the people who believed in the parody. It is best to be upfront and come clean about any issues you know about yourself, giving the other person the freedom of choice as to whether or not they want to continue with it. Don't try to fake your way into someone's life by utilizing the information they tell you about themselves. And don't try to make up a person to fit the criteria of what you think someone is looking for. Learning to operate in love means that we have to be true to ourselves and also be true to others. Otherwise, we are only living a lie. Taking others' freedom of choice and teaching them that it is not good to trust. Learn to love as yourself first, and don't make a parody out of your relationship with others. Amen?
Amen.
And tonight we're coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 10. We're coming out of the Message Bible. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Amen. And that's the word of God for the people. For the people of God.
Thanks be unto God.
Amen.
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 All right.
Okay. And just to give you some information, parody means to imitate poorly or feebly. And one of the synonyms for parody is travesty. And the definition of travesty is an exaggerated or grotesque imitation. And the word grotesque is a style to human and animal forms often interwoven with foliage and similar figures that may distort the natural into absurdity. Absurdity, ugliness, or caricature. And some of the synonyms for grotesque is monster. And it also talks about being very strange or ugly in a way that is not normal or natural or extremely different from what is expected or usual. So tonight we're going to be talking about trying to keep those relationships from being fake, unreal, and
interesting to use words like monster and grotesque, because a lot of times the relationships, that's what some people turn out to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come into your life and they're sweet and charming, and later on they turn into a punching bag.
Yeah.
Or they turn into a monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Definition. Amen.
And very interesting that you said that. I'm sorry that happened to you. I love you.
I love you too.
And I'm so glad we can laugh at that because it was not funny at the time, you know.
I wasn't really meaning that towards you, but, you know, there's a lot of times that people get in relationships, especially women, and they end up being abused by, you know, the person they're involved with. And, you know, people get in relationships, like you said, under false pretenses, You know, they go the way via parody, making people believe in one thing, and a lot of women become abused, you know, by their spouses and boyfriends, whatever, because they play that role. They take on that persona of being a good guy, Prince Charming, whatever, and they're real jealous and possessive, and end up, you know, just ruining lives of innocent people.
That's true. And, you know, I was saying that, you know, we can laugh at it now because women are not the only ones that get abused. Women can be abusive, too. And, you know, that's part of my story. And we do have to look at those issues that come from being like that, you know, because for so long, I thought I was a very sweet person. But there was another side. There was a dark side. You know, you come from those issues of insecurity, jealousy, low self-esteem. And we have to address those issues and do something about them, come to a solution so that we don't turn into that quote-unquote monster. Because that is what it is. That is what it is.
And it also comes from images as a child, you know, seeing abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being around abuse. And a lot of times we say, well, you know, when I grow up, I'm not going to be that way.
Right.
But that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never saw love. And when you see, it could even be a friend, you know. And a lot of times friends are not really affectionate, but kind of over-friendly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be read the wrong way. Person see that, and the next thing they snap. You need to do a background check.
Yeah, we do. We need that background check, those medical records and everything, psychiatric records and everything, because you just never know who you're dealing with, and it's better if somebody can be able to say, you know, I got a problem. You know, sometimes I just feel like, you know, I don't know if you're going to leave me, so I might just go out,
or
might act up, you know, act out.
A lot of times people be in denial, even in the dating phase, and don't see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then they corner phrase, catch feelings for a person, and the next thing you know, it gets deeper into the relationship, and it's the little snappy remarks and yelling, you know, unprovoked, just, you know, just because you might have toasted a little bit too brown or whatever, overcooked the eggs a little bit, you know, and it turns into a rage.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, well, baby, I'm sorry, you know, I'll fix you some more eggs. Don't worry about it. Take them, throw them in the trash. But you don't really think about it. But little triggers like that, you know, little signs like that.
The indicators that
it's some serious issues,
mm-hmm.
You know. And then the next day you know, here come the punch or the slap or the push, you know. So it's just little things like that, you know, we need to be aware of from the beginning, you know, before we do call ourselves falling in love again. And some of them will take it all the way to the altar before they drop down the shoe.
Yeah.
And then it's too late,
mm-hmm.
You know. So the parody.
Because I thought you had did me like that. I thought that we had made it all the way down the aisle and then you changed it to something else that I couldn't recognize. So you called me a D word. And out of all the times that we had arguments before, it wasn't until we got married that you actually did that. And I was like, oopsie daisy. Okay, what do we have here? But I think that it was a mounting thing that was going on because we had some issues and we went down the aisle anyway, you know, because I know that when I met you, you wasn't that type of person. But later on, because I was abusive, you know, and I thank God for the deliverance because in all my relationships, I had been abusive. I had always been the bully, you know. Growing up, I was a bully. And I was a bully growing up because I was bullied in my house. You know, my mom, she'd hit you just because you came in the room, you know, and she saw you, she'd hit you, and she'd find things to beat you with. You know, she was verbally abusive, and that's all I knew. So when I go outside, you know, I treated the children outside like my mom treated me, you know, because I had this rage inside of me, this thing that I didn't know what to do with, because there was, who can you talk to? Who do you tell on your mama to? You know. So, you know, we exhibit the behavior that we learn, and if we don't do anything about it, you know, there was no counseling, there was no, you know, the little thing that goes on in houses, you know, what goes on in here stays in here, you know, you can't tell your secret, you can't tell your secret, you can't ask for help. So you go around and you grow up, you know. So the little girl, you know, we talked about that before, you know, you actually don't grow up, you just get taller and older, yeah. You know, but you don't get a chance to come out of that belief and that mindset.
You're stifled,
mm-hmm.
At that point in your life where you had to deal with that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you traumatized at that point and you kind of just, you're frozen now, you know, for a period of time.
Yeah, but you dress up and you go outside looking like a princess, you know, and you make guys think that you're this wonderful person. You know, I was very good at communicating and making people laugh. And then we go home and a little later I'm gonna hit you.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like I like what you said about it. If you see the signs, that's the time to start asking questions. You know, who are you? What's really going on with you? You know, even if it's a change, I've never seen you act this way before. So why are you acting this way now? Is it something that you need to address? Because we need to be able to come up front with people. Because we do have that freedom of choice if we see it. If instead of going into denial and sticking the sand with these people and somebody getting hurt or somebody getting killed or somebody changing, you know, because we can change people because of our actions towards them.
I believe
them.
That's what happened to me.
Okay.
I haven't changed. But think about why you were saying what you were saying. And I think sometimes, though, you're afraid to ask those questions. You know, and you be in denial because you really don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? You got this person in your life and, you know, you're comfortable with them even though there are issues because you put it in that file that says, well, you know, everybody got problems. Ain't nobody perfect. So, you know, if this person can accept me for who I am, I feel that I owe them that much too. You know, maybe that's the, I'm trying to see the logic, you know, that most people have when it comes to that type of situation. And in my case, it was, you know, I knew I wasn't the best catch. I felt I wasn't anyway, you know. But I was blessed that, you know, you saw something in me that thought was worth, you know, having in your life. So I kind of cherished that, you know what I'm saying? So to me, that was worth more than some of the other stuff that was going on, and I felt that in time that we'd work it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But little did I know.
Yeah, it would get darkest before dawn.
You know, it does.
Yes, it does. And I still do apologize to you for that.
It's forgotten.
Thank
it's forgiven God. And forgotten.
Thank
because
God.
God is giving us so much more,
mm-hmm.
You know. Because we did decide to stay and have hope.
Yeah. And it was a trying time, and, you know, just like you say, I did have to get some help. And you know, the thing that they say, trace it, find out where it came from, face it, realize that it's really true, it's really you, and then erase it. You know, those issues that we have, because we got to find out what it is that's going on with what identify what the real issue is, you know, with me, it was sexual abuse, you know, and having had that distorted view and telling myself somewhere, I don't even know when it was, but I told myself that nobody would ever, never, ever, ever have any kind of control over me, period. And when I told myself that, what happened was I ended up always trying to exert control, which always made me out of control because you don't have any control over other people. You know, so me always waiting on that impending doom or something traumatic or dramatic to happen to me, always trying to prevent that, I staged, you know, those parodies. You know, I made those relationships volatile in my life. And when it got to you, you know, as a grown woman, I'm like, you know, surely now that I'm married, of course I'm thinking I'm going to have some control because I had no idea what a wife was. I had no idea what a husband was. I had a husband before, but he wasn't mine. You know, he belonged to some other people too, you know. So, you know, I didn't have an idea of what a marriage was, but I wanted to make that parody of a marriage, you know, had that sham or whatever it was, because I thought it was some social status in that,
right.
You know. But trying to make that be what I wanted it to be and protect myself at the same time caused a lot of emotional issues for me. Because if I had a cheating husband in the beginning, my disbelief was big on thinking that surely you couldn't, you know, be a faithful husband. I ain't never seen one. So, you know, when we come in with those issues like that, those are the things that I believe now that I know better in relationships, we need to be able to talk about those things before we go into, you know, a marriage or a long-term relationship with someone. You know, what happened with the other people? We need to ask those kind of questions. Well, you know, how did y'all break up? What's your view on that? What's your take on that? Do you think that, was there any part that you played in it? Because a lot of times people want to blame the other person. But like
I believe I was honest with you about the part that I played in it. But I told you it was my fault. You know, I didn't write up front so you would know what you were dealing with. So I just had some growing up to do, you know. I mean, 18 years of trying at it and failing at it, I didn't have a clue, you know. But I did it at a young age, and I really, really didn't. I thought I was in love, you know. I was infatuated. And
no, I know you was infatuated because you said you cheated on your wife, like, the whole 18 years.
In the beginning, I was infatuated. But I didn't really know what love was, you know what I'm saying? I was definitely hooked on porn at the time. And had been, you know, my father used to stash books under the seats of the car and go visit his friends, drink and leave us in the car. You know, you wake up and you see these naked images up under the seat, you know, and you get to flipping through them, and that age you get curious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never really being shown what a love relationship was, you know, you equate sex to love, you know. So that's kind of how I dealt with relationships, I think.
And I think that because a lot of guys deal with relationships like that, when y'all get to us and y'all deal with us like that, it makes us start viewing relationships like that. But we look at sex as a treat to you, you know, or a bargaining chip. And we end up using ourselves and the relationship, you know, it's more of a sexual relationship than anything, but it's actually
sex as a weapon.
Or like I said, as you know, as a bargaining chip, you know. It's the one thing that we want to hold back. It's the one thing we want to withdraw, you know, or it's the one thing that we want to tempt you with, you know. And we don't get a chance to start recognizing that this is a sham, that this is not love, this is a parody of a relationship. This relationship is not real. And then most of the time we get pregnant, you know, because we in this relationship, you know, it's a sexual relationship. We go to bed with people we don't know. We don't even know who we are. Now we done got a child, you know. And
now we feel like we stuck.
We stuck, you know. And sometimes we don't even feel like we stuck because a lot of women that have children out of wedlock don't want to be bothered with the children's father anymore. you know, or vice versa. You don't want to be called to be them.
It all depends on values, you
mm-hmm.
know, how you were raised and things of that nature. But, you know, that false, I don't want to say false, but that misconception of what love is, you know, it starts early.
Right.
You know, and if you're really not shown how to love and what love really is and what relationship really is, and then you get all these other images and you're trying to figure it out, and nobody's really talking to you about these things. You know what I'm saying? You're just kind of going through life from adolescence to teenager to an adult trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And just because this person won't give you the time of day, you know, you feel like you got a little something going on, but then as soon as it starts getting sour, then you're like, you know, well, they didn't really care about me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't really know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You haven't really been shown what a relationship really is, how to treat a woman, you know, what a woman needs and how to communicate with a woman. So you're thinking only in physical terms, because men see. You know, we really don't use our emotions until we do get hurt, and then when we get hurt, we still don't know how to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? So it's really a serious and a complex thing that really has to be nurtured, you know, into us. So we'll know what it is to be in a relationship. If not, parity begins.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen. I can see that. And it's the same way with us. And then it's a sad thing, because what we have to realize is that we got to get out of the mindset that love is something to play with. You know, so many people that's playing house, you know, and like I said, starting the families and, you know, putting up the horse before the wagon, the cart before the horse, you know, having the children first, you know. It's so many people that's living together afraid of even the word marriage, you know, thinking that, you know, the commitment is too big. But the thing is, if you're living like a married couple, you're raising a family, you know, why not put a card in it? Why not make this a blessed union, you know, instead of a parody, a sham of a marriage, you know? And I think that if we could just be able to friends first, you know, and value a sexual relationship, honor it the way that God intended. You know, I wish that I had been able to, God did bless me with two children, but they by two different men. But if I had known what I know today, you know, and if some of the things that had not happened to me, even though I know that everything happens in God's time and God's will, you know, to help me be who I am. But wisdom is the best thing that we have going for us.
That's the principal thing.
That's it. And if we could just help anybody to understand that there's a reason why marriage is a covenant. There's a reason why.
God puts an order to everything.
Everything.
Position, you know,
mm-hmm.
He positions everything from the beginning. And everything He puts in a position has a purpose. And if we follow that, His ordained order thing, we can't help but to be blessed.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that we incur in life comes from not being in position, not being in order. You know, the universe has an order. You know, we have an order because He created that order. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, when we have our own way of thinking and dealing with things, our own self-gratification, our flesh, you know, all the things that goes on around us influence our decisions of what we think life should be for us. You know what I'm saying? And having those type of grandparents and parents that had those old-fashioned Bible values, you know, that learned from the Torah, that sense, That keeps us in God's perfect will, that we rebel against because we think we're not being able to enjoy life, you know, or what we think is enjoyment of life, but it's things put in place to protect us. you know, from ourselves, really.
Yeah, from ourselves.
But we want to do what we want to do the way that we want to do it. You know, and the first time we get out in the world, we become a product. We just going to get buck wild, you know. Well, now I can do what I want to do, you know. But instead of holding on to them values that we were taught, you know what I'm saying, that protects us, and then we can get to that point where we get to the altar. You know, we can have that relationship and learn about each other, learn how to treat each other and talk to each other and just share each other's lives and make that decision, you know. Well, you're the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. You know, will you marry me? And then you have that choice. You know what I'm saying? You have an idea of who I am, what I'm about, my goals, my everything, the way it should be. But a lot of time we go through these random acts of
parody.
You know what I'm saying? And we have get a little piece of these people as we go through life, and then we don't even know who we are anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why we need a renewed mind, because we done took the one that God gave us and we done messed it all up.
Yeah, no longer sound mind.
Wow. You know, that was revelation to me right then. But that's the way it is in life, you know. And I remember thinking a lot of times, how I wish I didn't do some of the things I did.
Right.
Live the way I did. And, you know, it's just, but once it's done, you know, a lot of times unless you get something else that you can really kind of reformulate your life with, you just continue to float on, you know, until you find whatever it is that you're looking for that makes you finally come to yourself and realize you can't do this thing by yourself.
You need Jesus.
You need Jesus. Because he's the only one that can put life in perspective.
Right.
The way it's really supposed to be. Amen.
Amen. And he's the only one that can give us a real life. Not a parody, not a sham, but a real life, you know.
Man.
And a fulfilling life and fulfilling relationship, wholesome, long-lasting relationships that have the kind of love in them that he intended for us to have. You know, not the sham, not the make-believe love, not the fantasy, not the manipulation, you know, not the pimp-poor mentality, because you have a lot of relationships that still do pimp-poor mentality, you know. And it's sad, but it's true. It is true, you know. And that's the mentality that you owe me. You know, I give you something, you give me something. You know, and if you don't give me something, you know, like the pimp say, you better get my money. If you don't give me something, you're going to get a whooping. You know, and we need to figure out, you know, how can we stop having relationships with each other, because it's very important that we learn how to operate in love and that we do it in the way that God has ordained. Love one another like he loves us.
Believe it or not, exactly what we're doing right now. Talk about life.
Amen.
For real.
Yes, for real.
Stop playing games. Talk about the things that matter, what we really want, what we really expect, you know. And if we can fulfill that, then we need to move on.
Exactly. Amen. And again, I enjoy ministering with you today.
Well,
and I'd like to thank you and ask you to pray us out.
Well, Father God, we just thank you for the spirit of truth that's in you, Father God, and we pray that something was said, Father God, that would help someone, Father God, to just be for real about life, Father God, not live the parody, but live the truth of who they are, Father God, and learn the purpose of Heavenly Father that we were created for. We ask these things in Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we'd like to thank you once again for listening, and we hope that you'll join us again. And remember that no matter what the situation, the circumstance, or the problem,
the lesson is always love.
Wow. Yeah.